Is religious liberty at risk in modern America? Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we're going to talk about a current case involving First Liberty. FirstLiberty.org for more information. Jeremy Dice is an attorney with First Liberty. Jeremy, it's great to have you back on the program.
Well, thanks for having me.
You know, it's hard to believe that America, which was really founded for liberty, religious liberty specifically, explicitly, that religious liberty would be at risk in our time.
Well, it is, and I guess the Founding Fathers kind of understood that there would be a problem with that because they enshrined within the Constitution this wonderful First Amendment that says that Congress shall make no law regarding the free exercise of religion of our citizens here. So they knew that the power of government tends to corrupt, and that corruption tends to hit at some of the very first freedoms that we have, the most fundamental ones being not only speech but religious liberty. So thank goodness for the foresight of our Founding Fathers.
Okay, now, there's a new case that you all are dealing with out of Anchorage, Alaska. And I've been there to Anchorage. The only time I've ever been there was almost 20 years ago, and it was to interview this gentleman named Kevin Clarkson. So tell us this story, the new story.
Well, that is interesting. Kevin is an attorney, and he was defending a women's shelter there in Anchorage, Alaska, and they had a concern about a religious liberty matter there that the city of Alaska had come against them regarding just some of these things that happen on occasion where there's a misunderstanding of what this ministry does, and the city came against them for it. And so he was trying to launch a defense of this whole thing, and lo and behold, when he repeated what his client's claims were that they had made in those defenses in before this commission, the commission came against him. They went against the attorney and said, look, you can't be saying these things in defense of your client. So put very simply here, we had to defend Kevin Clarkson, the guy who is trying to defend a ministry, a religious organization, because he himself needed the defense. In other words, the religious liberty attorney needed a religious liberty attorney.
That sounds weird. It really does. In fact, doesn't the Constitution even say in one of the Bill of Rights, maybe it's number 6, Amendment 6, it says that counsel, everyone's, welcome to have counsel. And in fact, it's by law. They're supposed to have counsel.
Well, indeed, at least in this country, we have a very strong tradition to make sure that everybody has the right to counsel. And certainly the rules of ethics require attorneys to be zealous advocates on behalf of their clients. And so it's a very understandable thing for every attorney in this country that they would be outraged that a city commission, a county commission, any state official would dare to get between their client and themselves and tell them what they're allowed to say and what they're not allowed to say. When we're defending our clients, we are to engage in every single argument we can legally and ethically make on behalf of our client. And in this case, for this city, this civil rights commission in the city of Anchorage, to say you can't reference certain things, this is an absolute outrage. When the religious liberty attorney needs an attorney, things have gotten really bad in our country.
Okay, now the charges were brought about by the Anchorage Equal Rights Commission. And although equal rights sounds good, a lot of times what that really means is, anti-Christian bigots who are looking, to try and force, basically to criminalize people with traditional views when it comes to human sexuality. Is that an overcharacterization?
Well, that's pretty close to what was going on here. And you had Kevin Clarkson just trying to advocate on behalf of his client. You can say all you want about what the client was standing for, and certainly the city, the Anchorage Equal Rights Commission, came against him for having those beliefs. But no attorney should be discriminated against or harassed by the government in this case for representing his client. If an attorney can't protect religious liberty, who can?
Huh. Okay. Now, so you've got the Anchorage Equal Rights Commission on the one side. Then you've got this Kevin Clarkson who was kind of propelled into religious liberty cases, first with the ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom. And now, I guess, with you all, perhaps, or you guys are defending him. But anyway.
The interesting thing was he was trying to defend an ADF case. And so this religious liberty attorney needed a religious liberty attorney because these unelected bureaucrats there in the Anchorage Equal Rights Commission were inserting themselves into this attorney-client relationship. So if an attorney can't protect religious liberty, then ultimately the reason why we find this to be an important case is because if that attorney can't protect religious liberty, then we can't protect religious liberty.
Okay, so let's get to it. There's a Downtown Hope Center in Anchorage. It's a ministry that helps. It's a religiously affiliated women's homeless shelter. And what happened? Did a transgender person come into the shelter, or what happened that caused this in the first place?
That's my understanding of it, is that there was a transgendered individual that wanted to come in there. He was a bit belligerent, and there was allegations of him being intoxicated, all that. So they're trying to settle all that out within the underlying lawsuit. And when the media contacts Kevin, the attorney in this case, for the Hope Center, he repeats what he's filed in the documents before the commission. And when that is then published in the press, which is often the case, then the Anchorage Equal Rights Commission comes against him. And these unelected bureaucrats, they just simply overstep their authority by issuing a complaint against the shelter, first of all. But now they're attempting to punish, or at least they were until recently, they're trying to punish the shelter and its attorneys for talking about the case in public. That leads me to wonder if anyone but the Anchorage Equal Rights Commission can actually even talk about this case publicly.
Okay, so help me to understand. If you have a Christian-based shelter to help women, are they allowed to say, you know, we're only going to help women? And, you know, people who are men that are confused and they identify as a woman and whatever, you know, in this transgender era. But we're not going to be able to, you know, we will not let them go into the ladies' room or the showers, you know, or that kind of thing. Are they not allowed to do that?
Well, according to the Anchorage Equal Rights Commission, that's what's on the table right now in that actual lawsuit. The part that we're trying to figure out, and the only part that we played in this entire case, is whether or not their attorney can make those arguments in the press or not. Because according to the Anchorage Equal Rights Commission, when he attempted to do so, they filed a complaint against him. And so what you have is the AERC, this commission of unelected bureaucrats that are effectively saying, look, we're going to be the only ones that are going to be allowed to talk about this in the press. When you do it, we're going to actually take you to court. We're going to file charges of discrimination against you. This is nothing more than bureaucratic bullying, where you have these unelected bureaucrats overstepping their mission and violating the First Amendment by preventing an attorney from zealously advocating for his client. They drove a wedge between the attorney and his client, and now they're making it impossible for any attorney to talk about this case in public. Thankfully, we were able to work with Clarkson and his firm there in Anchorage, and we worked with the Anchorage Equal Rights Commission, had these charges dismissed. We've now settled that case. And so now Kevin can return to defending the client. But had they not backed down and had not religious liberty, had not First Liberty had the chance to get involved here, this would affect every single attorney throughout the country and, frankly, every client trying to be represented in a religious liberty matter. If the state can say, you can't talk about your case, only we can talk about it, and if you talk about it in ways that we don't agree with, we're going to file discrimination complaints against you, no attorney would be able to represent their client in these matters. That's why this has been so outrageous.
Yeah. Wow. Thou shalt be politically correct. And if you're not, we'll take you to court and we'll not allow you to say anything about it. I mean, this is getting crazy, Jeremy.
It absolutely is. And when an unelected bureaucrat gets in between the attorney-client relationship, it's just gone way too far. No attorney should be discriminated against or harassed by the government for simply representing his client. That ought to be a bedrock of our democracy.
Okay, so what actually happened when First Liberty just even threatened to get involved? Then the Anchorage Equal Rights Commission backed off and said, okay, forget it. Clarkson can go ahead and represent these people.
Well, that's pretty much it. It took a little bit of time to make that work out, of course, but we fought the charges on behalf of Kevin, and we worked on his behalf to make sure that his firm, Brenda Bell and Clarkson, would be able to continue to represent the Downtown Hope Center. And thankfully, we've been able to resolve the matter, and this firm and this attorney will now be able to represent their client. That hopefully will have a good result for them as well. We don't know. We won't be involved in that part of the case. But we've at least assured this, that every attorney would have the right to be able to practice on behalf of his or her client, to advocate on behalf of his client, to make sure that they are well defended without being discriminated against or harassed by the government for doing so.
Think about the implications of the wider issue here, not just the attorney versus, you know, what he is allowed to do or not do or who he can represent and so forth. But think about the issue in just in terms of bathrooms and, let's say, churches or bathrooms and Christian ministries or Christian schools. Is it wrong for them to say, this is the men's room, this is the ladies' room, the ladies go to the ladies' room and the men go to the men's room? And if you're confused about that, we're sorry, but you're still not allowed to go into this room. And, oh, by the way, here's a unisex bathroom. You can use that. But a lot of times, even in the schools, the transgender people or the people fighting for the transgender people have actually said, no, the unisex bathroom is not enough. I'm still being discriminated against. I am a male, even though I'm a female, or I'm a female, even though I'm a male.
Yeah, and those are remarkable cases, and this is kind of where we find ourselves right now in our society. But I think at least we should be able to have the ability of people of faith to be able to be respected in this kind of a diverse society. And so we understand there's going to be various religious beliefs that are going to come into play and all that, and that's just to be expected. But at the very least, when those legal conflicts come in, and this is exactly what's now happened in this case, when those legal conflicts arise and you have these civil rights commissions that are made up of predominantly non-elected bureaucrats that are kind of given this noble sounding task to in many cases really put some trouble in the way of religious organizations, when that happens, the attorneys for those religious organizations must be free to advocate on behalf of their clients. But when these bureaucrats get involved and discriminate against that attorney and prevent him through some means of harassment, either by a complaint of discrimination or something else, they've gone way too far. If an attorney can't protect the religious liberty of his client, then I wonder who can. And certainly this is a big deal for First Liberty Institute, one of the nation's largest firms dedicated exclusively to religious liberty. If an attorney can't protect religious liberty for his client, then we can't protect religious liberty ourselves. And that's why we've been able to, why we took on this case, to make sure that this attorney and this firm in Anchorage has the right to be able to protect its client's interests when it comes to religious liberty.
You know, I got to interview Ben Shapiro a few months ago, and one of the phrases he used that I think is a good one, it's very telling. He used the phrase, the new sexual orthodoxy. And it seems to me that the tip of the spear in virtually so many of these cases is related to the new sexual orthodoxy. Whether we're talking about, you know, transgender or gay rights or abortion rights or whatever. If you run afoul of the new sexual orthodoxy, then you can be in trouble. We have about a minute left. Your comments.
Well, that's the new age that we're in. Of course, following the Obergefell opinion, there's going to be various lawsuits, as Justice Scalia predicted. There's going to be other shoes to fall that will have to come. But during those debates, many of which are going to take place in a legal setting, and especially with civil rights commissions like the Anchorage Equal Rights Commission, those clients, those religious organizations and religious individuals must be afforded the privilege of counsel. And when the state comes, or the city, or this Anchorage Equal Rights Commission, those like it around the country, if they get involved and they start harassing and discriminating against the attorneys, then it's an unfair fight. Yeah. And certainly we ought to be able to be of the position that those who are defending religious liberty as an attorney, if they can't protect religious liberty, then no one else can. We can't allow that to happen.
Wow. All right, Jeremy Dice, firstliberty.org for more information. Thank you, Jeremy. Always a pleasure.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.